Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee.
Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may, above all things, seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty Lord and everlasting God, we beseech you to direct, sanctify and govern both our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and the works of your commandments, that through your most precious protection, both here and ever, we may be preserved in body and soul, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The reading is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, beginning of verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you, as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honourably in every way. Particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenants brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
So together we affirm our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I hadn't been down to lead or preach this week, but as you may know, our prayers for Kim, who was really missing Matthew, her husband, and who was due to lead and preach at this service, were answered in a very unexpected way when she was offered a job working alongside Matthew in Iceland. That's the country, not the frozen food retailer. I'm not plugging them. To be honest, whilst I was praying that God would find a solution to their situation, the outcome far exceeded anything I could ever have dreamt of or asked for. And I do hope that she is able to experience a number of times the Northern Lights. I know that she's really looking forward to seeing them, and I should imagine that they are a wonderful sight. Let us pray now. Heavenly Father, surprise us and challenge us by what you would say to us today. Through the power of your Spirit, work in our hearts and minds to increase our understanding, receptivity, knowledge, and the depth of your love and your ways, so that we may each continue to better reflect your transforming love to one another, this community, and the wider world. Amen. I've just come back from a couple of weeks' holiday and a couple of days' retreat. It's been wonderful spending time with family, getting to know the partners of my four children, some of whom I haven't met before, and helping my parents settle into their new home. During that time, I had the opportunity to reflect on the message I felt God wanted me to share with us in Chipstead at this time. Even traffic jams on the M4 have their purpose. Those 40 minutes of being parked in the middle lane were an excellent time to praise God and to listen to him. Just in case you think I'm trying to come across as holier than thou, I must admit that the 30 minutes I spent parked on the A303 on the way home, I didn't use as profitably, as I'm sorry I haven't a clue had just come on the radio. But to be honest, on a baking hot day when I could see others visibly getting angry and more frustrated, the laughs provided by the team were good for the soul. And I thanked God for the timing of my journey in that radio show. But back to what I believe God wants us to reflect on today, and that's tied in with our strapline, where we say that our purpose is to know and share God's transforming love, and which I feel fits in really well with today's reading from Hebrews 13. In our Pew Bible, the whole of this last chapter is entitled Concluding Exhortations. And when you read it through, you can almost hear Paul saying, oh, and you better add that in. Yes, and you need to put this in as well. Don't forget to say, because it looks, to be honest, like a fairly disparate collection of instructions. From verse 1, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, through verse 6, and so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me? And then moving on to the blessing that I'll give at the end of the service. When you look closer, they all tie in with our vision statement. Our purpose is to know and share God's transforming love. Honey, my dog, went on holiday whilst I was away. But because she spent so much time with me since I got her way back in December 2019, she knows me really well and was able to recognise my arrival well before she saw me. To a dog, the centre of their universe is their human, although with a Labrador, food does come a very close second. How well do we know God? How much time do we spend with God? Is he the centre of our universe? Is God the centre of our lives, above the competing calls of bowls of food, water to play in, or the new doggy boyfriend she's made while staying with Rome? I read recently in Hannah Steele's book, Living His Story, that evangelism, sharing the good news, is primarily an invitation to come and see who Jesus is, an invitation to move a step closer. She continued, evangelism is an invitation not primarily to an event, but to an act of imagination, a wondering what life might be like if there was someone who loved us unconditionally. Living in an age of instant gratification, we seem to want it all now. But strong relationships, where we really get to know another person well, take time and are continuous and require intentionality. As I observed when I heard a husband of 39 years saying to his wife the other day, "I never knew that about you." There are always things we can learn about one another, and there are definitely always things we can still learn about God. Indeed, one of the very best things of being called to be a disciple is realising that we will keep on being very pleasantly surprised as we learn more about God and his ways for the rest of our lives. The gospel of Jesus is good news because it tells us that we are seen, known, and loved with an extraordinary love. The good news also tells us that we are forgiven. Hannah Steele says that one of the most common ways we Christians talk about sin is in it being a breaking of the law, but says that that's quite a hard concept for postmodernists. She suggests that present generations are more impacted by thinking of sin as being idolatry. We are surrounded by the consequences of pursuing other things before God, whether that's in the terms of addiction or broken relationships. If people are able to see the consequences of sin as harmful for the flourishing of human life, then they are far more likely to be receptive to the good news that God offers a way of freedom in Christ. In verse 9 we read, "Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace and not by the eating of ceremonial foods." We are what we eat. And if we're feeding ourselves on a diet which is unhealthy, we will make idols of what is not healthy rather than eating wholesome fare. And the best food is the Word of God. I wonder if there's something that you're struggling with, something you've idolised, whether it be security, the status quo, or finances, building up wealth to act as a buffer in your old age, or alcohol or TV. What has taken the place of God in your heart? Because we all need to keep checking ourselves on this. It's very easy to start putting something in the place of God. Very easy to stop loving God as we really ought to, and as we know is far healthier for us. It's so difficult sometimes, but that's why we do need to continue checking ourselves, because otherwise it's very easy not to love him as we ought. And when I say ought, I don't mean to preach hellfire and damnation so that you turn to God through fear, but rather that when we truly know and love God, he is able to gradually transform us into his image, to help us see him more clearly and to dismantle the idols which distract us from being in relationship with him and which obfuscate our perception of him so that we don't see him clearly. If someone you know is struggling with, say, addiction, don't beat them over the head telling them that they're a sinner. But when they express remorse at any damage they can see they have done, talk to them about God's unconditional love and how Christ can help us along the path to true freedom and enable us to know real forgiveness so that we no longer need carry around shame, fear, guilt, or feelings of unworthiness. Christ, after all, judged us worthy of knowing forgiveness, finding freedom, and being unconditionally loved. The world has been changing really rapidly in the last century, with the process of change that has accelerated rapidly, particularly over the last 18 months. And that's scary to us humans. We don't like change, even though it is something that's going on continually and is the one certainty. And when we're scared, we can react in ways that might surprise us. But perfect love casts out fear, and perfect love is seen only in God, which is another reason for knowing God and knowing God well, and keeping on turning on back to him, being intentional in facing in his direction. When I was on the three-masted schooner, the Malcolm Miller, our watch was taken down to see a chart because the person at the helm had steered us very fractionally off the course set by the captain. It appeared an incredibly small amount, but the captain showed us how even a tiny percentage of a degree off course can lead you over time to a destination miles and miles away from that to which you had set out. That's why we have to continue building our knowledge of God and knowing him continually, being in his presence, having a close relationship with him, seeking his will and guidance so that we don't end up far from where he knows is the best place for us to be. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And so we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." One of the saddest things I hear is that those who don't know God are so often burdened by fear, shame, guilt, or hopelessness because they struggle to know where to go with the weight of having made poor decisions which have impacted negatively on others or on their own lives. So many people feel unworthy because of things they have done or things that have been done to them. But Christ set us free for freedom. We need to be better at sharing the good news, having first listened to the needs of other individuals we come across, so that we're better able to share the knowledge of God's deep, sacrificial, unconditional love for us, and so that others can find true freedom. After all, we love because God first loved us. When we know that love, we're compelled to share it, not to keep it to ourselves. We're compelled not because if we don't we should fear judgment, but because it is such wonderful good news. And when we reflect upon God's love, we're so overwhelmed that we just can't help sharing it. We've agreed in St. Margaret's, as I said earlier, that our purpose is to know and share God's transforming love. We want to share it with everyone, enthusiastically, because we've found our own lives to be better, richer, brighter. And we then love others enough to be able to overcome our natural reticence and insecurity in speaking out and want others to know God that deeply too. If we aren't doing that, I wonder if it's because we don't know God well enough. Or is it because we haven't asked the Holy Spirit into our lives? So how can we ourselves know God better? How can we ask for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives? Well, that's quite easy. We just ask. And how can we then encourage others to know God? It's all down to relationship with God, and I believe to meeting together regularly with other Christians. Where Christian lives are entwined with other Christians and with God, God's love is clearly seen and is transformational. It needs to be shared, both through sharing the good news verbally, speaking about the things that God's done in our lives or where we've seen him moving, but also through good deeds and acts of loving kindness. We need to be seen to be relevant in our parish because we want to see others to see tangibly how much God loves them through the love that we reflect. Christ called us to go and make disciples and nurture them in the faith. And we don't do that by hitting them over the head with sin. We do that by showing them God's love and speaking of God's love and his loving kindness and the great things that he's done in our lives. Our purpose is to know and share God's transforming love. Knowing love is so necessary for human health. Sharing love is great for human thriving. But knowing and sharing God's love is different and exponentially better, because God's love transforms. God's love is different and exponentially better. It's stronger and it's deeper, and it's often expressed in really surprising ways. Ways that may not at a surface glance appear loving, because God's love is often challenging and uncomfortable. He takes the long view and the wider picture. He wants us to achieve the potential with which he created each of us. God's love took Christ to the cross. God's love took Paul through being shipwrecked, imprisoned, beaten. Oh, he had a terrible time. But knowing God's love and being prepared to walk through those challenging and uncomfortable times brings transformation and a peace and a joy that are incredible and amazing and wonderful. And we know that through those dark and difficult times, he walks alongside us when we are aware of his presence, because we're walking in his direction. I'm sorry, I really can't find enough adjectives, and language doesn't adequately enable me to describe the awesomeness of God's transforming love. There are really times when I wish that I could preach in tongues rather than having to rely on the Queen's English and merely being able to praise God in tongues, because the Holy Spirit is way better at sharing the awesomeness of God's transforming love. It's most clearly experienced, I believe, during the toughest times, which are often quite painful. But during those times, you have a deep assurance inside of you, and you come out on the other side cleansed and purer and closer to God, and one step nearer to achieving the God-given potential with which he created you. We're all going through painful and challenging times, and that might lead some to gloom, doom, and despondency. But God is still reigning on high. And out of the things that seem tough or might appear to be hurting us, he brings new life. Don't forget that many plants are only able to propagate to produce more because of what appears to be devastating wildfires that seem to destroy everything in their path. The captain on the Malcolm Miller allowed us to continue for a while on our infinitesimally small off-course direction to allow us to see how far off course you can eventually end up. He showed us on the chart that had we continued unchecked on a way that was only slightly off true, that we would have ended up on the rocks. That's why we need to keep examining ourselves in the light of God's Spirit, and why we need to be a community worshipping together to help and encourage one another on the true path. Last summer, we commented on the blessings we were seeing in our way of life because of the pandemic. Life improvements caused by cleaner air, a lack of noise pollution, and an improvement of lifestyle due to many no longer commuting, but working from home, and so having more family time or time to go for a walk at lunchtime. I know of two friends who were devastated to be laid off during the pandemic, but who then started doing the craft work that they really loved and enjoyed, and that they had often thought of branching out into, but didn't quite have the guts to do it. And they've now set up businesses capable of supporting them, something they'd never have dared try had change not been forced upon them. All things work to the best for those who love the Lord and act according to his purpose. Instead of digging our heels in and hoping everything will revert to a past we remember with our rose-tinted glasses on as utopian, We need to fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, see what he's doing and join in. And we can best do that, I believe, by truly knowing and sharing not merely love, but God's transforming love. Might I encourage you over the next week to read and reflect upon the whole of Hebrews chapter 13 several times, asking God to show you by the power of his Spirit what he would say to you in the light of our St. Margaret's purpose of knowing and sharing God's transforming love.
If you would like, as a mark of discipleship, to make a donation to support the ministry of this church, you are able to do so via our website. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Father, all things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Let us pray for the whole state of Christchurch Militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle hast taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and especially thy servant Elizabeth, our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed. And grant unto her whole council, and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And in a moment of silence, we lift up before God those he has particularly laid on our hearts. We also bless thy holy name for all thy servants, departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good example, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith. And take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high.
Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so we pray together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. When the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me.
Amen.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life. Take and eat this, in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart, by faith, with thanksgiving.
Amen.
The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this, in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful.
Amen.
As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end.
Amen.
Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Amen.